In Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, there is in Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, village, there is a mosque for Salman Pharisee. And the tomb, is that the tomb?
Allahu alam, with many of the tombs of the Sahaba, it's not known exactly where they died. And for example, take Al-Hasan Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, you'd find that there are three or four places that claim to hold his body. Now we know that his head was severed and was taken from Al-Iraq to Asham.
One place in Afghanistan, people they claim would be buried Sayyidina Ali there.
Sayyidina Ali.
It's called Mazar Sharif.
Subhanallah. Mazar Sharif was named after Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's known that he died in Iraq. Yeah. Ali ibn Abi Talib was buried in Iraq.
In Najaf,
yeah. In Najaf, no. So sometimes these tombs are not exact. Now that's not a general case with all of them. Some of them it is known, but some it's not. And Allah alam about Salman al-Farsi, exactly where he passed away. But. Yes?
I just remembered one of my favorite sayings by Salman al-Farsi is when Abu Darda sent him a letter from Jerusalem inviting Salman al-Farsi, because they were very close friends at least, inviting him that they had separated. And Salman al-Farsi was in Baghdad, whereas Abu Darda had left and settled in Jerusalem. And he was inviting him to come to Jerusalem because of the greatness of the city. And I believe Salman Farsi wrote back to him saying that it's not the land that makes the person great, but rather his actions that make him great. What is the exact saying?
Yeah, I don't recall the exact saying itself, but the Salman al-Farsi and Abu Darda, they had a very, very strong friendship. And they would always correspond with each other through letters, even though they were separated by land. It is Salman al-Farsi who, even though he was a very strong friend of Abu Darda, it is Salman al-Farsi who complained about Abu Darda to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Darda was very strict. And he was at the very high edge of zuhd. And that was a bit difficult on the family of Abu Darda. Abu Darda would spend his day fasting and his night praying. He would not sleep, he would not come close to his wife, and that was his life. So Salman al-Farsi knew about that, and he went to and visited Abu Darda, and Abu Darda presented Salman with food, so Salman told him, eat. Abu Darda said, I'm fasting. Salman al-Farsi said, no, you have to eat. And he forced him to break his fast. He forced him to break his fasting. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Darda later that you should spend some time with your family and you should not be fasting every day, but this friendship continued until the end of their lives, and they would always correspond with each other through letters, even though Salman was in Persia and the area of Iraq, and Abu Darda settled in Sham. Abu Darda lived for a while in Jerusalem, but he also spent some time in Damascus, and he gave the Amawiyin a hard time. Damascus became the capital of the Islamic Khilafah in the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. And at that time, the Ummah was becoming extremely wealthy, very wealthy. And Damascus was turning into the most developed and wealthy city in the world. And Abu Darda was contrasting this to his early lifestyle in the times of difficulty in Medina. And that was making him very uncomfortable to see the direction the Muslims are heading to. So he would go and stand in the public places of Damascus. And he would say, Ya Ahla Dimashq, Ya Ahla Dimashq, Ala Tastahyun. Oh, people of Damascus, aren't you ashamed of yourselves? And then he would tell them, تَبْنُونَ مَا لَا تَسْكُنُونَ. You are building houses and you're not living in them. You mean they have so much wealth, they're building all of this real estate and property and they're not even using them. وَتَجْمَعُونَ مَا لَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And you're collecting all of this wealth and you're not using it. وَتَأْمَلُونَ مَا لَا تُطِيلُونَ. And you have desires and you're not going to be able to fulfill them. I mean, they had all of these desires. And then he said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَبْنُونَ فَيُوثِقُونَ. The people before you, when they build, they would build buildings stronger than yours. وَيَجْمَعُونَ فَيُعُونَ. And when they gather wealth, their wealth was greater than yours. وَيَأْمَلُونَ فَيُطِيلُونَ. And they would have desires, but they would live longer lives than you. ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَسَاكِنَهُمْ صَارَتْ قُبُورًا. But then their houses became their graveyards. فَإِنَّ دِيَارَهُمْ صَارَتْ قُبُورًا. Their houses became graveyards and their desires were terminated. Their desires were terminated and death overcame them. Eventually the Khulafa decided that Abu Darda has to be ousted from Damascus. His words were too strong. So he was driven out of Damascus and then he settled in the deserts. And that's where he passed away.
I had a question as far as back to the Dawah. What are some of the steps that the community here can take as far as giving Dawah within, maybe if they only speak Farsi or something like that, to give Dawah to their family, to people that they know, and to the non-Muslims? I know you've been in California and Dawah Hijjah. What are some of the steps that you've taken there?
We have two responsibilities. We have to work on ourselves in addition to the propagation of the message. And both are important. The first one is important because the distance between the lives of the Muslims today and Quran is very wide. Our lives are very, very far away from Quran. And we need to bridge that gap. So that needs a lot of internal effort and work. And then our second responsibility is the propagation of the message. However, we always need to be clear of our objective. Our objective is not to convert people to Islam. Our objective is to convey the message of Islam, and then the people choose to follow it or leave it, because it is Allah who guides. We do not control the hearts of people. لا إكراه في الدين. There is no coercion in religion. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. You do not guide the ones you will, but it's Allah who guides. So our role is to convey the message. It is the right of every human being created on the face of the earth to hear the message. And then they make the decision on their own by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are two different responsibilities we have. Our responsibility with ourselves and with our communities is to learn. We have to learn the message of Islam, separated from all of the cultural attachments and baggage that comes with it. We want to know what our religion is. What our religion is, not what our forefathers did, or what our people back home do. Salman al-Farsi, if he was thinking along those lines, if he was thinking with this mentality of وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ, we found our forefathers following a certain way and we're going to go along with it, Salman al-Farsi would have died as a worshipper of fire. So this is something that is abhorred in Quran. Following the forefathers is something unacceptable in Quran. We find this more than one ayah. وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ فَنَحْنُ عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. many ayah talk about this in different ways. Al-Haqq, the truth is one. The truth is one. And we follow the truth, and that's the meaning of the word Islam, submission. We submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, regardless. We submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That is Islam. So we need to have a lot of education. We need to have a lot of education. And then implementing that education. That's something very important. And when it comes to the propagation of the message, this can be done in different forms. There are so many forms, it takes a long time to go through them. Whether we're talking about literature, spreading literature, or the word of mouth, cassettes, or the conduct. The early Muslims, one of the things that would attract people to become Muslim is that their characters were outstanding. People would just watch them. They wouldn't even have to speak. People would watch them. They would see how they behaved in public and private. They would see how they would conduct their business. And that was enough to convince the people to become Muslim. That's how Indonesia, Malaysia, all of Southeast Asia became Muslim. There wasn't any Muslim soldier who set a foot on that part of the world. They became Muslim because they saw how the Muslim businessmen conducted business. Honesty, sincerity, and ibadah. And these merchants who came from the area of Hadramaut, they had this ibadah. They were ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying and ibadah. That was something outstanding in them. In addition to being very successful businessmen and honest. So it's rare to find this combination. People who are hardworking, businessmen, very honest, and in the same time they are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their vision towards Al-Akhirah. So this example was very attractive, that now you have about 200 million Muslims in that part of the world. It's one of the largest concentrations of Muslims in the world. They've been Muslim through the character of businessmen. And the Sahaba who went to Egypt, and they went to North Africa, and they went to the areas of all parts of the world, that's how they attracted the people, through their character. So al-akhlaq is a very, very important part of da'wah. This is a silent form of da'wah. And it's more powerful than the sometimes the spoken form of da'wah. And especially here in America, I mean, I think I've mentioned this before, some of you. Everyone in the world is propagating their ideas in America. You have everything here. Everyone is opening a shop and trying to market their product. And the American public are exposed to all of this. And they've heard it all. And the people are saying, show me. We've heard what everybody is saying, but we want to see it in front of our eyes. So da'wah needs to go beyond words and become action. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.